This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I need a video game and some tools.
Over there, in the media corner.
For Craig.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for December 22nd, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, Merry Christmas! Thanks for joining
Merry
us!
Christmas.
If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. This is now like 6 years since we've been podcasting. It's a long time. I'm Chuck Tomasi,
wow.
And with me for a long time is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm feeling old after your statement there.
I know. Kids have grown up, gone off to college since we started podcasting.
You know, I was in the Christmas spirit till you brought me down.
Hey, it gets better with age. It's like fine wine and cheese. Well,
yeah.
Well, okay. Well,
lots of cheese and no wine.
And we're going to whine about it, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, you cut it. Wait, did we say cut the cheese?
No, not after rooster stuff last week. Keep going.
Right, it was very difficult for me to figure out how to get headphones and a Santa hat. If you're watching on the webcam, boy, you got to watch. I threw up the tacky
Christmas
logistics. Lights and everything. Yeah, between the voicemail show and this one, a lot has happened to the studio, at least aesthetically.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we have bad gift ideas, good gift ideas, and the digital Christmas story as told by online modern stuff. All that and more coming up right after this.
Psst. Hey, Mac.
You talking to me?
Yeah, you, Mac.
What do you want?
I understand you're quite a computer.
A lot of people seem to think I am, yes.
I also understand a lot of people don't understand everything about you.
Well, that's their problem, not mine.
That's why there's the Typical Mac User podcast and website.
Typical Mac User, eh?
Yeah, they learn all about you, Mac. They learn all the good stuff and the bad stuff.
Surely you're not suggesting there's a bad side to the Mac?
Yeah, you let them decide about that. Typical Mac User podcast and website. TypicalMacUser.com.
Catchy name.
Yeah, I'm gonna go find out all about you, Mac.
Hi, this is Gil Gerard, and you're listening to Technorama.
Before we get too far into our Christmas party, we got to find out who came to this crazy party that we call Technorama. The crazy party consists of a Dasher Prancer. What? Huh? AD Dasher Prancer. Bad News Robot. Bad News Robot? Who? What? We've been around a long time. Oh, of course, there's you and me, the host of this party. Christmas End, Captain Rootbeer, Debdrup, Frosty Forecast, Gru, Mark Shepard, who we haven't seen in, what, a couple of years.
Well, I see him on Twitter.
Marvy Christmas? Absolutely. Night
hey,
Star?
The rumors of his deaths are greatly like deaths.
Death? He hasn't been dead.
Ooh, no, I said plural deaths.
Deaths.
He's
Marvy
coming back.
Christmas, Night Star, Navneb, which is Ben Vaughn backwards. Santa Tim, Signs of Christmas, Susie the Geek, and Zaharismus.
Zaharismus.
Well, it's Zaha Doom, but it's Zaha Christmas.
Yeah.
Rip Van Shepherd.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, you guys are awesome. We're having a good old time in the chat room and on the live webcam. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights at 9:30, you can catch this insanity every time. This just happens to be our Christmas party. We're having a good time. You can tell the music in the background.
I'm having a drink of some Christmas cheer.
I'm having some Christmas cheer, too. That's what Christmas parties are for, right?
That's right.
Speaking of parties, we want to wish happy birthday out there to Luke the Chuck Stalker Smith.
Not Luke Skywalker, but Chuck Stalker.
Luke Chuck Stalker. Probably was a big call. He was the guy who was hanging around us at Dragon Con. Great guy. Great little kid. He's 10 this year. Oh, my gosh.
And that was funny that Luke was actually Darth Vader.
Luke Vader.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. His birthday is on the 22nd. Richard Green, a.k.a. Mainframe, on the 23rd. Mad Boom on the 24th. And Joel Parks, a.k.a. Agro Jagama. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Rolls right out the tongue.
I don't think it would work without a Leinenkugel's in my hand. He's born on Christmas Day, along with somebody else who's famous.
I'm sure his mom loved that at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure he loves it. He gets chipped out of a birthday.
I know. Isn't that stinks.
If you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar and you happen to have a more fortunate birthday than December 25th, visit the wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki, and put your name on there, and we will shout out to you.
Oh, wait. Hey, by the way, I do want to mention, looks like Summer is in the chat room.
No.
Summer Ninja.
Yeah, Summer Ninja, sure enough. Yeah. Maybe she's rounding up friends for the Farfest on January 1st, I think it is. Or is it December 20th?
She's Summer the Christmas Ninja.
What does that mean? You wear a hat?
Yeah. You don't see the ninja. You just see the hat floating around.
This is like a throwback 2, 3, 4 years in her chat room. This is awesome.
Yay.
The whole party here. This is great. If you want to be part of that party any other normal week of the year, Sunday nights, 9:30 Eastern, you can go to chuckchat.com/technorama. We will have the front page all set up for you with the live webcams and the chat room and the whole thing. You don't need a password. Just come along. Make up a funny name. They'll show you how. / Nick, whole thing. Great IRC.
Yeah.
You
look at Chuck Tomasi. It's pretty funny already.
Yeah, you're funny.
Chuck Tomato.
Right, who invited this guy to the party? All right, we have news.
Give me another drink.
Good news, nobodies.
First up in the news, we have a story about... Well, you know what? It's the music you hear in the background. Sorry, folks, on the web stream. You're not going to hear it because it was put in post. But if you go to 8-Bit Christmas right now, you can play about...
Hey, we should do all our parties like that. Have a party and then just put the music in post.
Yeah, we can do that.
Have everybody kind of dancing to nothing.
40 minutes of 8-bit music that... you're just going to love. Joy to the World, First Noel, Silent Night, Gloria, you name it, it's out there. There's like 12 songs out there that'll keep you rocking for a while. And every once in a while you hear like a Mario Brothers coin or a Donkey Kong thing. It's pretty funny how they work that in there.
It is cool. As a matter of fact, I went looking for steampunk Christmas music and trying to think of something for the show. And I didn't run into this, but I did find something else that's a little different. But wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it worked.
All right, next up we have a story about a family who spends $82 a month, as the show notes suggest. It's $82,000.
I know. Isn't that ridiculous?
$82,000 a month on their Christmas lights. And they get a picture up here. This is, you know, it doesn't look that severe at first when you first look at it. I mean, I've seen houses decked out. But this is, let me get the story up here. So, Claudio is just saying, hey, I love hearing the return of On This Day in Tech History. And I forgot to put the name as well.
I like this. The Botcher family.
Whoa.
In parentheses, it says, suck it, Ben Stiller. Of Delaware loves Christmas. Granted, they probably don't even know why it's celebrated, but they do love putting up the Christmas lights. According to House Logic, the family pays about $686 an hour to run a million lights, and it will rack up a bill of $82,320 over a month. Just 1 month.
If they went green with LED lights, they could cut that bill down to only $10,680 a month. Wow, gee, what a savings.
You know, anything over an extra $50, I'd have choked on.
Good grief. Man, they must make some serious coin because I could never afford that.
You know, I turn the candles off and that are in the windows before I go to bed. There's my, too much
they're,
money
they're
on the
power. Not even electric candles.
They clap on and clap off.
That's right. That's what kind of candles you got. All right.
Yeah, but well, you know, we in our neighborhood, or not my neighborhood, but down the road, actually, there's a neighborhood they do this. They have a lighting contest for all the houses. And some of them are really good. I saw one, I bet the whole yard was all lit up. They had the grass done, everything. It was pretty cool. That was the one I mentioned. Did I mention this before? I was trying to figure out what was on the garage, and they were projecting a Christmas story on it.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to get out and watch it, but Kim and the rest of them wouldn't let me get out of the car. But.
Speaking of Christmas things on your garage, I'm going to do these two in a little backwards order here. But okay. Douglas Welch first sent us this. This is part of our Hacks and Strange Stories. Should I throw that up there? Yeah. Okay. Douglas Welch first told us about this. I believe this is a friend of his who does this annually, puts up the different... he does the different... like Christmas
lighting
games,
techniques?
Lighting techniques, yes, controllers and whatnot on his garage. Last year he had, what did he have last year?
He did the Guitar Hero.
This is driving me nuts because I can't get this little.
Okay, last year he did the Guitar Hero, and this year he did a little more of a Santa theme with it. So remember last year's Christmas Lights Hero game?
Yeah.
The same maker of that game developed a different one this year entitled Snowball Blaster. Which, unlike Snowbank Melter, isn't play... I'm like... You don't pee on the snow to play this game. How about that? The Christmas Lights video game Snowball Blaster. Hop in Santa's electric training sled.
And you can see that at like the end of the driveway. It looks like a little car of... You know,
yeah, it's like you have an arcade or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you sit there and you. It's kind of like Guitar Hero, the same thing, but you have a little a cockpit to sit in. The Snow Blaster has 128 channels of light-o-rama. I think we should trademark that.
I think so.
controlled by lights controlled by PC. The game logic is running on a basic stamp, which accepts inputs from the player switches and controls with red arrows and solid-state relays. That's pretty cool.
How long did he have to work on this? It says the game is designed around a limitation of
65 days.
Very few positions to light up. The timing of when they light up is more versatile. So that's where the game lives. It's easy to learn, starts easy, and gets harder pretty quick. The audio is broadcast on FM, so people watching in their cars can get a show too. That's just, I mean, the imagination this guy has. And when you lose, the whole, like, neighborhood lights up.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. It blows up a house.
They couldn't do that around here because there'd be 3 feet of snow and people would be freezing while they're sitting in this little car out in front of the driveway. Yeah.
See, the trick is if anybody fails the game, one of the houses in the neighborhood blows up, just nobody knows which one.
Oh, that's cool.
You can do that. So the neighbors are all out in the yard scared.
All right, back to the other story. Bad idea for Christmas present. This is the... McDonald's drive-through center. You know, Fisher-Price has those little kitchen sets and things where you can, you know, practice cooking and cleaning and whatnot. Well, now they have a little McDonald's drive-through for the kids if they want to grow up and have career aspirations of working the drive-through.
Well, you know, kind of set your kids' expectations low and go from there.
Yeah, good luck with that. McDonald's isn't trying to market in any way you can. This is all kinds of wrong for, well, you know. So, if you're thinking about this for the kids, don't. Please don't. Please.
Well, you know, if you... Maybe they took some kind of genetic test and they see they're predisposed not to really do anything more with them.
If one of my children or nieces and nephews comes up to me and says, would you like to supersize that?
What? What are you talking about?
No.
Yeah,
it's not
supersize it.
Please don't.
No.
That's all I gotta say. All right, next up we have... That's after Hacks and Strange Stories. Oh, remember when? Yeah. Right, I'm just all over the place with the images and whatnot. Roll that great Remember When music.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Little jingle bells in there.
I like the jingle bells. Thanks, Craig. All right. We have some great still images up here in the Remember When segment of steampunk and retro Santas.
Cool.
Got a collection of those. I'm going to roll those on the webcam as well. There's, and some of these just, I don't know. The one of the coffee mug looks more like a robot Santa from Futurama.
It does. I like the dude that's got the outfit with the goggles and everything.
He looks more like a Wisconsin guy. I don't know how that qualifies for Santa. He's got a little spyglass up there and his choppers. I don't know if that qualifies.
He just looks through his telescope and kind of...
Right,
he needs
right.
to pull out a sextant and kind of plot his course.
The Christmas ornament looks more like a piece of candy, but the there's a drawing of Santa... like a mechanical leg and a mechanical reindeer, and he's looking to blast you. That interesting drawing.
You're naughty.
There's a drawing of a hot air balloon, which is kind of retro steampunkish. I thought was rather interesting.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is cool.
Webbed dragon wing sort of thing. Oh, I just noticed the front is a lit up Rudolph reindeer nose.
But it's like the head of the ship. That's
right,
funny.
The masthead.
Yeah.
And then there's like this cross-stitch thing, which is rather interesting. He's got the steampunk kind of goggles and the boots and the whole thing. So, yeah, great stuff from over at bite.ca.
What is that one thing? Jewelry. It's just some jewelry. How would you wear that?
I don't know, but it's awesome looking. It looks like it's kind of carved pewter sort of thing.
I would wear it.
Depends where.
Somehow. Yeah. On my chest.
I'm
sans the shirt. Sans the shirt.
Yikes.
It clips on to either. Okay, let's move along.
All right, moving along. We got a. Those of you who are in your 40s or older will remember the Cold War very vividly. And one of the items of the Cold War that doesn't seem to be so prevalent anymore is a bomb shelter. You know, nobody just. As a bomb shelter.
No, I want to move into a house that has one.
Yeah, what a selling point that would be in your backyard, huh?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, it's a little man cave, but...
In the early 60s, you could thumb through the yellow pages to find a plumber, exterminator, or nuclear defense vault. Yes, here's one such ad from a 1962 Philadelphia yellow pages. Increase your chances of survival by 4,000%. You could find several more oddly mundane fallout shelter ads over at Conrad adjacent. You could also check out the nuclear escape plan for the city of Philadelphia from the 1950s and the Alert America showgirls who traveled around America informing citizens of the impending Cold War doomsday, all while acting preternaturally pert and optimistic.
You know, by the way, the diagram in the ad,
yeah,
it looks more like some kind of temporary fireplace you can buy and put
it
in your house.
It's like one of those dome fireplaces things, doesn't it? I love the,
it's
I love
just the cutaway. I don't know.
I love the phone numbers too. For information, call Trinity 76261 or Midway 2-1065.
I never did understand those old phone numbers. I didn't have to deal with them, of course.
The first two were the letters on your phone number. See, because where I grew up, it was like 225-0410. Well, 22 was CA, so they'd say call capital 50410. And then
that's why the two those two letters are capitalized.
Right. And the lady would say call capital 50410. I said, I don't know how to make a capital 5. There's a carpet store or something that used to do that. It was out of Detroit. They for the longest time, well into the 80s, they say call national 29000 national 29000. NA was the You didn't get it. It was a very good mnemonic.
I see what you're saying. The first two numbers go, so it'd be number 76261.
Yeah. N is what, 5 on your dial pad? A is 2, so it'd be 5229000.
Huh. Okay, I gotcha.
I don't know if there was any magic code for what those two letters were, or if you could just freely make them up yourself. Like if TR could be Trinity or Tracer Bullet.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm looking at, it doesn't make sense to me though. I'm thinking about, you know, I live in Rock Hill and I'm trying to think, I'm looking at the numbers. That doesn't make any sense. Most of the numbers started with 366 or 32
so
something.
Yeah, the 32 would be like a DA or
yeah, but
FA.
Yeah.
So facsimile. I mean, 3400.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, but as far as what it should have been. But
Mark Shepard spit out a few. AM was Amherst, WH was Whitetail, MU was Murray. So. Yeah, there must have been some code. I'm curious to find out what the rest of these actually are. If there was some alphabet of these combinations, because there's a lot of combinations if you think about it. And what do you do if you get because originally the numbers couldn't really start with a 1 or a 0, so that left out the possibility of getting that first key, which has no letters on it, the second key.
I think I should get in touch with the phone company and find out.
Yeah, I have some friends who used to work at the phone company many years ago.
You have friends?
Yeah. Don't look so surprised.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. Come back with the Media Corner, where we will... we got a Doctor Who story, another great gift idea, and a Christmas ornament that you might be interested in.
What do you think of Technorama?
It's the greatest thing ever. It's better than tweeting. I can't live without it.
Technorama. Think of us as the TSA, and we're giving your ears an aggressive pat-down.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
All right, we have in the Media Corner a Merry Christmas from the Doctor, Amy, and Rory. I'm not going to play the audio on this because it's kind of painful to listen to, but if you follow the show notes over to scifistorm.org, there is a song with Matt Smith and Karen Gillum and what is Rory's real name?
I don't know. Arthur. Arthur Darville. I'm looking at it right here.
Yeah, okay.
Arthur Darville.
And they're singing, was it Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas? Yeah,
that's right.
Around the piano in a rather interesting style. It starts out slow, then they hit it big in the middle, then they slow it down at the end. And, it's not terrible. It's just not.
Makes me want to time travel. No, it's fun to watch. That's the thing. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, somebody was having fun off set when they did this one.
Mm-hmm.
Rather interesting. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, you might want to just go check it out. It's just cute. All right. Wait a minute. You put in a thing in the show note, gift idea for Space Odyssey's monolite, but you didn't put in any link.
I didn't put that in. I threw it in Google real quick, and I get... the monolith from 2001.
Oh, it is the monolith. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, that's, I don't know why I wrote monolite. It should be monolith. Okay, let's fix that. It's,
you want the monolith?
Yeah, it's the Christmas ornament. I believe that's a ThinkGeek gag gift again.
Oh.
It's one of those.
Remember we saw that, the bad action figure thing a long time ago? It was like a...
Yes.
It was the monolith?
I think this was one of them. Great gift idea. Like a wonderful Christmas ornament. Just the 2001 Space Odyssey monolith. That's it. I don't even think I need to put that up on the still cam. It's just like easy to picture.
So if you could get any geek centric gift, what would you want?
A fireware mixer?
A fireware?
Is that another question?
Oh, that would go in the audio geek theme.
I don't know. I've just kind of been picking up things this year as I need them.
I want a box of the buttons off the control panel on the original Enterprise.
just kind of shake them around a little bit.
Ever since I was a kid, I always wanted one of the original Cylon outfits in the 70s.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah.
or as I grew older, one of the more modern Borg from First Contact.
From First Contact? Yeah. Well, they were all kind of the same.
No. You go back and look at Best of Both Worlds. The original Borg were somewhat more simplistic than the latter ones. It's almost like comparing the Batman outfits.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, okay, yes, I get
Adam
that.
Adam West Batman, much different than Val Kilmer's Batman.
What's the most obscure item that you would want off a something?
Obscure? You mean like a Hollywood obscure, or what do you mean?
Doesn't matter.
All right, throw your idea out there to help me get going, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know what'd be cool is you can keep the flux capacitor. I just want the little switch that Marty pulled to turn the whole time circuits on.
The control panel?
Yeah. You know, no, the little T switch, you know, where you flipped it. It was right there at that where the handbrake was at. You know, pushed it forward to turn on the time circuits. See, I would like to hook that up to my computer.
The Terminator's arm.
The Terminator, like the one they had in Skynet?
Yeah. The one that was in Terminator 2 Judgment Day when they went in and they got the arm from the original movie.
Mark Shepard said, Spock's left testicle.
What? Wow. Someone's been spiking the eggnog at this party.
Is that the original Spock or after he was dead and come back? Actually, he probably had... Never mind. I'll let that one go.
He won't be going very pond far with that.
Happens every 3.5 years now. Let's see. I know. I would want the isolinear chips that Data was putting back in the on the Enterprise, you know, when they were all pulled out.
That's what I'm thinking. It'd have to be something kind of small, otherwise your spouse will disown you.
See, you can actually put a hole in the isolinear chip and just hang it around your neck.
Right. You wouldn't be able to, grab that large replica of the Enterprise D from the Star Trek Experience in Las Vegas. That wouldn't work.
I want William Shatner's boot.
Ricardo Montalban's chest.
I want some collector's sand from Tatooine.
We're getting a TMI from Comedy Forecast.
TMI. Anybody else got any suggestions in the chat room? What obscure geek gifts would you like that they don't actually make? What would you?
Bantha fertilizer.
It's great for your garden. A little potent, but it's great. Bantha fertilizer.
Okay, well, we just dragged that one right down, didn't we?
Yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars and Banthas, we have one final thing in the media corner, and that is a Boba Fett Christmas ornament that I just love this when I saw this.
It's funny. I'm sorry, this was awesome.
Boba Fett, when he was delivering delivering Han Solo to Jabba, he gift-wrapped it and put a tag on it, and that's what this ornament is all about. However, he's not holding a blaster rifle. He's holding a candy cane.
So. Yeah. Hey, I like the thermal detonator on the ground with a little bow on it. That's cute.
So that was cute. And then right at the last minute, we got a lovely video over at youthministrygeek.com. CountrySign sent this in to us. It's the digital story of the Nativity. And, if you're religiously sensitive, you might want to just skip this. But if not, it's a very cute way of sending the message. It's a modern-day version of Mary and Joseph and the whole Nativity thing. Mary gets a text on her iPhone from the angel that says, guess what? you're going to become pregnant. They go online. They're looking for transportation. She emails Joseph. Oh, when they're looking for transportation, all the vehicles aren't invented for centuries yet to come. But the donkey's available. And she sends a Gmail to joseph_carpenter07@gmail.com. It says, Joseph, we need to talk soon. I'm going to be pregnant. It's a cute little story. I just cracked up.
She bolds it soon, yeah. and then
the wise men, this is great. They go on Twitter and they follow the star.
That's funny.
Oh, Julie and I cracked up on that. It was great. So, you know, the message is the same. It's just a little more updated. But it was very cute. They posted their pictures on Facebook. It was very cute. We'll put the link in the show notes, of course. Highly recommend you go see this. It's just a great way to remind you what the message in the season is all about.
That's right. Hey, by the way, don't forget, you can go listen to me and Chuck do our 12 Days of Christmas we did a while back.
Oh my goodness, where do you find that?
It's on my Twitter account. I'm sorry, YouTube.
You still have that?
I'll stick it in the Geek Library.
All right. That takes care of it. Is that everything? That takes us to the end of the story and the end of our Christmas party. Hey, everybody, have a great, great holiday season. Christmas, New Year, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, if you've already celebrated it. We want you to have a safe and happy holiday so you can return next year. We have a lot of great things up our sleeves for next year, kind of like a magic trick.
Yeah. Hey, one of those, and start spreading the word, and I'll have dates and everything. I want to do something special. I want to do a Technorama homecoming and have a bunch of old listeners that haven't been around in the chat room or anything come in at least one good time and you know, do a show around that.
What do you mean? I think we got half of them here tonight.
I know. Well, I want them all at one time.
All at one time. Okay.
The Technorama homecoming. We'll announce details soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun.
All right. Is that an LOL or a 101, Claudio? I can't tell when you use that font. It's just too hard.
A little bit of both.
Okay, we'll take that as both. If you happen to be in the giving mood this season, there's a phone call. You just pick up the phone. 206-222-2428. 206-222-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you, even if it's a holiday wish, like Bruce Barr did in the voicemail show a couple days ago. Technorama@chuckchat.com. Drop us an email. Tell us about your obscure Christmas gifts, like Kirk's left boot that you want.
Drink beer out of his boot.
Contact us many other ways at the website. Just go to chuckchat.com. Click on Technorama, and we have a Contact Us tab there for you. If the economy is picking up in your neck of the woods, there's always the tip jar, too. One-time payments or monthly micropayments, we really appreciate.
Hey, stuff our stocking.
Yeah. Help our bandwidth.
That's not a euphemism for anything else other than obvious.
We really appreciate everybody who's donated over the last few years. Keep this going and keep Technorama strong. And with that,
like Bantha strong.
We want to thank Mad Mar for providing all the great blog content. He contributes regularly. We appreciate that a whole lot. Great funny things you're going to see nowhere else. Well, okay, you might see it, but we like it. Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday night, and the chat room provided by thinstack.net. Thank you to Steve Rickenberg and all the rest of the GRU crew. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech, has been, and always will be for years to come. I have and always shall be your friend in tech.
That's right.
We're also affiliated with farpointmedia.com and all the great podcasts over there. Hey, have a great Christmas. I know I said it before, and a happy new year. Thanks for coming to the party. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
10 ho 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 1. Hey, Chuck.
What?
I got you a little something for Christmas. Here you go.
Oh, thanks, man. I have something for you, too.
Oh, awesome. Thanks. You want to open them now?
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
Thanks, Craig. I always wanted a... well, oh, it's a Firewire mixer. How'd you know, man?
I just, you know, this little elf told me. So here, let me look at mine. What? All right. Oh, dude. What's that? A Sonic the Hedgehog doll on a screwdriver?
Yeah, I don't get it. Don't you get it? Sonic screwdriver.
Whack, whack, whack.
I didn't give you the orange juice and vodka.
Or a rock.
Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas.